News with Nick. This camera's not in the correct position. April 15th, 2019. It is 6 a.m. as this is the only time I have to do the show right now. Now, since it's so early, my hair looks like a mess and my eyes are full of sleep sweat. And also, since I just got here, you may be wondering if I am even wearing pants. All right. Today's the Boston Marathon, everyone. Are you excited? We've got a repeat runner, the guy from last year. I have him on the screen right now, who won the mail race. He started the race out, was like sprinting at the start down the hill. And the announcers are going like, what is he even doing? And the other announcer was like, oh, he must just want some screen time, LOL. Now, I've thought of doing this. Join a very prestigious race, right? And try to start as close to the front as possible. Maybe in like a 25K. And then at the start, you just sprint and see if you can take the lead over the people who are going to pace themselves and still try to win it and see if you can get on TV for like a second. Haven't tried that. But anyway, so he does that and the announcers are like, I can't believe that he's doing this. What a waste of energy so early on in the race. And then turns out he ends up winning. He doesn't lead from the start to the end, but he does end up winning. So they're like, oh, I guess he knew what he was doing after all. Let's check it out. It is raining outside right now and a little bit windy, so I'm wondering how the weather's going to be today for this race. Runners to escape cold headwinds, not rain or thunderstorms. Very wet to start. The temperatures will climb during the afternoon. For the second consecutive year, the Boston Marathon will be very wet. Ooh, that's what she said. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect until 6 a.m., our biggest concern is going to be the downpours and lightning. The storms are starting to fill in near Hopkinton between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. There will be downpours. By 9 a.m., the bulk of the downpours are going to be south of the Cape. Okay, so it's not going to be as bad as last year. I'm excited. I'm not going to do any work all day. I'm just going to watch the Boston Marathon. It is also the 6th anniversary to the day of the Patriots Day pressure cookers that occurred, obviously. And the two guys who, in a world where the cops shoot everyone on sight, somehow ran through Watertown for several hours. The older brother, right, got in a shootout with the cops, as shown in the movie Patriots Day. And he runs out of bullets or something. And then instead of the other cops just shooting him, they're like, oh, he's out of bullets. Let's tackle him and tell the media that his brother ran him over with a truck. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. Then the brother runs through town, hides in a boat. Every place in Watertown shut down. Cops door to door, knocking on every door going, come on out. We're going to search your house. Have you been hiding any Rolling Stone magazine stars in your building? And they go, no. And then as soon as everyone comes back out, an old guy goes to his boat and goes, guys, he's in the boat. I heard him in there. And then the police surround the boat, shoot 5,002 bullets through it. And then, like in The Mask, the kid comes out and he's like, I'm fine. And he drinks some water, and the water pours out of his stomach because he's been shot so many times. But he was completely fine, I guess. If you smell conspiracy, I don't know what I'm saying because it's so early in the morning. Anyway, so that happened. That was fun. I wish we had more stuff like that. Tiger Woods has won the Masters Tournament for the first time in 83 years. He had what was called the curse of the ex-wife, right? When she chased his car with a golf club and started hitting it because he was sleeping with so many Applebee's waitresses or something like that. So I was looking at the score for the Masters. It is, golf is a very close sport. He finished 13 strokes under par, and the three players behind him finished 12 strokes under par, meaning that if Tiger Woods somehow just missed the last putt, that he was doing, which was a very easy putt if you look it up. If he like messed up, that means he was just going to automatically tie with everyone else and they would have to do a runoff four ways. That'd be crazy. Anyway, turns out Donald Trump, huge Tiger Woods fan. So if you followed Donald Trump's Twitter, he said, "Great Masters going on right now. At Tiger Woods is leading with two holes left to play. Very exciting. Tune in." So Trump's up in the White House going, and they're like, "We got important stuff to do." He's like, "No, no, 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 no. The Masters are on." Now, 5 hours, an hour after that first one, he posts, "Watching final hole of the Masters at Tiger Woods is looking great." And then he posts, "Congratulations to at Tiger Woods, a truly great champion." And then he says, "I love people who are great under pressure. What a fantastic life comeback for a really great guy." And then reposts the final putt from Tiger Woods. So, Donald Trump, huge Tiger Woods fan, and you guys want to say he doesn't like the blacks. So that just proves that wrong, right, everyone? Speaking of people saying weird things, this is an update that occurred in the past couple weeks. Minecraft has removed all mentions of the game's creator, Notch, from the splash screen. So people may be going like, what does that mean? So when the game Minecraft starts, they have this little text that comes up. It's supposed to just be a little bit funny, like made in 1999 or watch out for pigs. Any stupid little text, and some of them said made by Notch or anything. Minecraft has taken down all mentions of creator Marcus Notch a person from the main menu as part of a sweeping change for the game's title. In the game's latest update, developers have taken down various splash texts such as "the work of Notch," "made by Notch," and even 110813, which is a reference to Notch's wedding day. He's married? I don't think he's married anymore. However, he is still in the game's credits. Rumor has it that the references to Notch were removed in a way to distance the game from its original creator, who became increasingly controversial as of late. So this guy, old, fat, neck beard, right, with a fedora, and he's sitting in his bedroom, and he's like, "You know what? I think I can make a video game." So he goes, "I made a video game. There's blocks, and you jump around, and there's this thing called the creeper, and it blows up, and you just build stuff." And then he put it out on the internet, and he said, "All right, guys, here's my game. If you pay me like $12, you can play it," right? And it wasn't even finished. So 5 million people buy the game, and he's like, "Oh, I'm okay. I guess I'm famous now." He didn't even mean to be famous. He was just like, "Here's a game." And unfortunately, the fame made him go insane, right? Now, Notch changed gaming entirely. If you think of all video games that are currently out, so many of them go back to styles of survival or creative building or resource management. Like any game where you have to run around and gather supplies is basically a spin-off of Minecraft. Because that was like one of the first major games. Everyone's going to know. It was also done by Mark Burnham in Survivor. No. Anyway, the point is, Notch was the first guy to make a game with creative and building supplies and survival style play. And a whole ton have come from that. He changed gaming forever. But he got, like, he hated the fame, so eventually he sold the game to Microsoft for like $2 billion. And he's like, "I have $2 billion. I'm just going to buy the most expensive stuff I can buy." So he buys a house, and he fills the house with candy in the walls. This is not a joke. This is what he did. He put a huge candy dispenser in the wall so that every time he pressed a button, candy would come out of the wall. Well, it turns out no one ever came over to his house because they were all too busy going to their normal jobs. And he's like, "Oh, no one wants to hang out with me." So the candy all went rotten. So let's look this up. Notch rotten candy. This is a real... whatever. I think it's just a meme. I mean, it's not a meme. Like, it is true. But if I Google it, all I'm going to get are jokes. I'm not going to get the good, correct story. So So he goes insane, and then he's like, well, how can I not be so insane? I guess I'll turn alt-right. And then he started tweeting a whole bunch of weird stuff, and I don't have all of it, or most of it. One of the things he tweeted a while ago was, if you're against the concept of a heterosexual pride day, you're a complete effing C-word and deserve to be shot. Rude. This is the guy who made Minecraft, who's supposed to be very nice to kids. I saw this guy in person, by the way, when I went to Minecon. He hated it so bad. Little kids would walk up to him and go, are you gonna do blah, blah, blah with the game? And this was like years after he was done developing the game. He still owned the company, but he wasn't one of the creative leads anymore. He was like, I don't know. Ask the people who actually work on the game. Now he hates his life because he's such a billionaire and all of his friends are only friends with him for his money and his candy. This happened this week. A British comedian named Ian Cognito died on stage during a stand-up performance. My goodness. He was performing at a bar called The Attic in Bicester, an English town about 14 miles north of Oxford. He fell ill during his set. The bar's owner said that he sat down, put his head and arms back, his shoulders were twitching. Ooh, the audience assumed it was part of the act. Of course, this is what always happens. If you're ever going to do something dramatic, don't do it during a show. You might not make it. Go, hello, it's not, I'm not dying as part of the act. It's real. The audience assumed it was part of his act at first because earlier he had joked about his health and said, imagine if I died in front of you lot here. An ambulance was summoned a few minutes later after a fellow comedian realized something was wrong. He was pronounced dead at the scene upon medic's arrival. Ooh, that's crazy. So a comedian just on stage decides, hey, I'm in bad health. I drink so much and I smoke so much. What if I died? And he goes, guess what? I'm going to commit to the bit. And he dies on stage. Unbelievable. A weird thing happened yesterday to me. I was sitting in my room. I was preparing for the show, as you do, getting all the news show together. And I hear a noise outside. Now, I almost always hear a noise outside. But every time, like, I hear a truck nearby or a truck door open or something like that, I tend to look out the window just to make sure that they're not coming for me. And this time, it was a truck, and he was parked pretty much in my driveway, sort of on the side of the highway, and then it drove off. So I don't know if someone was outside and jumped in, and then it drove off, but it was closest to my property. Then it wasn't like, oh, maybe they're going to the next house over. They wouldn't have been. And then I'm like, okay, cool. So I should just check the security footage to see what the heck that was. I'm sure it was nothing. They were probably pulled over to check a map. Got out, maybe he urinated on my driveway, and then decided to go on, right? I checked the security footage, and I try to pull what happened, and there's a block of time in my security cam footage that didn't record. Like, the rest of the day recorded, and then for an hour, it stopped recording, and then it started recording again after the truck left. And I'm like, oh, is this the start of a scary movie? Like, the kids go up to the security cam footage, like, let's pull the footage. They go, it's missing. It's just missing. Someone deleted the tapes. Wonder if that guy could, like, remotely control my camera, remotely delete the recording after he did whatever he was doing in my driveway. It's probably nothing, but that's a funny coincidence that I suddenly don't have the footage of the one moment that there was a weird truck outside, right? New details have come out of a mother that planned to shoot up her daughter with bleach. An Idaho mother was charged with attempting to inject bleach into her 10-year-old daughter. Brooke Helmendahler was found nearly 400 miles away with her daughter after an Amber Alert was issued in multiple states. New details provided by Karem in Spokane highlight the severity of the charges against her. I should have opened the source link, so this is my bad. Let's see if there's a video here.
time yesterday, an Amber Alert went out for a 10-year-old Nampa girl. She has since been found safe in Washington State with her mother. Our Tammy Tremblay is here to tell us more about how those events unfolded. And Tammy, also why some of us received the Amber Alert at different times.
Well, Dee, the Amber Alert went out to Oregon and Washington about 40 minutes before it was sent out to Idaho. Depending on where your phone is registered and your phone's notification setting.
Wow, who cares?
Early or late.
What are they trying to teach old people how phones work?
This most recent case proves, once again, Amber Alerts work.
Alyssa Helmendoller is okay. Nampa police say it was important to make sure that was the case after the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare expressed concerns about her well-being.
Due to the threats that mother had been making towards the child's safety, it was determined that we needed to locate the child to make sure she was safe.
Sergeant Tim Reha says the threats came from the 10-year-old's mother, Brooke Helmendoller. The 41-year-old does have custody of the child, but had reportedly made threats regarding her safety.
So officers then went out to try and locate the child, and through that investigation determined that there was a good chance that they had fled the area.
All right, so let's just say that Helmendoller, this lady, has gone insane. She said, the article says, Helmendoller believed she and her daughter were infested with parasites. She planned to have the two of them drink charcoal, receive enemas, or colon cleansing, and inject bleach to kill the parasites, according to court documents. Helmendoller later told officers she was suffering from some health issues, including the parasite infestation. She said that she sought medical help for these issues, but felt as though the doctors were not listening to her. Yeah, because she probably didn't have parasites. I wonder what the symptoms of needing to drink bleach are. She was taken to the Sacred Heart for a mental evaluation, and her 10-year-old daughter was placed into the care of Washington Child Protective Services. This happened on March 12th when she called the daughter's school, told them she would be picking her up to treat her parasite problem. When she picked up her daughter, a staff member noticed the car seats were covered in plastic. She told the staff member they were staying at a motel because the house was infested with parasites and insects. When officers spoke to Helmendoller's husband, John, he denied that their apartment was infested with anything. John Helmendoller said his wife suffers from mental health issues and that she was trying to get into a rehab facility. Oh, my goodness. John Helmendoller told officials he believed the combination. Okay, so long story short, lady goes insane, puts her daughter into a bucket of bleach. I don't think that actually happened. But why doesn't the daughter go to the dad? Let's see. Officers determined that John knew his wife's location and he was aware she had left town for Portland, Oregon. They checked John Helmendoller's phone and found out he had been in constant communication with his wife. Oh, wow, he's in on it. A safety plan would have prohibited Brooke Helmendoller from having or caring for their daughter unsupervised. John signed the agreement but violated it, saying his wife convinced him it was not enforceable unless it was from the court. During the investigation, law enforcement used technology to locate Brooke Helmendoller's phone in or near Hermiston, Oregon, according to court documents. Officers spoke with John several times during the investigation. He did not express concern for his daughter's safety. According to court documents, when he found out about the Amber Alert, he said, "That's not going to look good." So I wonder why he's also in on it. Like, he's talking to the police. He goes, yeah, she's totally insane. And then they go, okay, so are you scared that the daughter is going to be injected with bleach? And he goes, nah. Maybe he doesn't want either of them. But he's like, I don't want this daughter. And so I guess if the wife goes insane and gets rid of her, it's not my fault. Like, it's not illegal to not be sad. So, I'd be charging that guy, too, with obstruction or something. Speaking of people going crazy, did you guys hear Britney Spears has now gone into rehab or whatever? She's, like, all upset about her dad. Not rehab, sorry. Mental health training. Britney Spears checks into an all-encompassing wellness facility amid her father's health battle. She announced in January she's taking an indefinite hiatus from work to care for her father, Jamie. The Star posted a picture of a quote which reads, "Fall in love with taking care of yourself, mind, body, spirit," on Instagram. Sources tell People exclusively that the singer checked into a facility for all-encompassing wellness treatment. According to another source close to the family, Britney just needed to focus on herself as she cares for her father, Jamie, after his life-threatening colon rupture. Her dad being sick has taken a toll on her.
Aw.
He nearly died and actually had another surgery a few weeks ago. Leave Britney's dad alone, right? Level one. I was trying to get my new Volvo set up with what's called Volvo On Call, right? And it's supposed to be like you can connect your car to the internet or your Wi-Fi connection or something like that. And then you can communicate with it via app with your phone. So you could start it or something. And I know one of our friends, Dale, at one point had a car and he would always like, "Everyone stop, 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 stop. Watch this." And he would pull out an app and he would press a button that would start his car and he'd wait 15 seconds and he'd go, "It's going. It's going to start, everyone." We'd all be standing around the car like we could be in by now. He's like, "No, no, no. It's going to start." It started. So I'm trying to set this up and it just keeps going, "Error. Cannot set up." So I press the button in the car that says Volvo On Call and it calls this place. And I actually talk to this lady and I'm like, "I think I need a pin to connect to the car." And she gives me the pin, blah, blah, blah. That all works fine. Still errors out. So I haven't fixed that because it just was stupid. I was having an Andrew problem. I'm like, I followed every step. I get to the point where it's supposed to connect or work and it just doesn't connect or work. It just says unexpected error, or it says turn off the modem in the car. And I go, "The modem in the car has been off for 5 days. So what are you asking for?" Anyway, one day I arrive home and my car starts ringing. It's not my phone that's ringing, synced to the Bluetooth. My literal car starts ringing. It says Volvo On Call. Press OK to accept. So I say, OK. I press OK. And it goes, "Hello, we have some important information about your car's warranty." But it's one of the scam calls. And I'm like, "No, the scammers, they're calling now my car. They're not even calling my phone. They're calling my literal car." So I try to hang up. I'm pressing exit. I'm pressing end. I'm pressing every button in the car that I think would end the call. It doesn't end. It keeps going over the speakers. I park because I'm at my house, right? It goes, "Would you like more information on this?" I go, "No." It goes, "Thank you. Someone will be with you shortly." I go, "No, no, 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 no." Now I'm stuck on the call. I've turned the car off. Doesn't stop the call. I open the door. Normally that kills the radio, obviously. But it doesn't kill the call, which makes perfect sense. You wouldn't want a regular call to a regular? You wouldn't want a regular car call to end just because of that. A person picks up the phone. They go, "Hi, you're interested in information on your new warranty on your warranty?" I go, "No." And they go, "Okay, bye." Whew, thank goodness. Like, what if they had kept going? I didn't know how to end the call, and I still don't know how to end the call. Because the call ended when the other person hung up. Everyone's going, "Shouldn't there be an app that's like telephone and you just press end?" I would think so. I mean, I was pressing escape. I was pressing all the buttons that were red in tint that would mean end the call. Like most of them were just my hazard lights, apparently. So that didn't work. The parents of a 9-year-old girl who was seriously injured when a car careened across her yard, hit her, and hit the house hope the public can help identify the driver. Security camera video shows Laderana Holmes playing with a friend in the front yard of her house in Georgia, about 32 kilometers east of Atlanta. Who cares how far it was? When the driver hit a stop sign on the corner across the street, kept going across the girl's front yard and hit her as she tried to get out of the way. This video is crazy. It is now playing on the video version of the show, which you can find at newswithnick.com. Click on today's episode and click it. Now, this video in itself does not show the moment of impact. Do I have the video that shows the moment of impact? Yes. Am I playing it? No, because some people would find that disturbing. So this girl is just in her yard and the security camera, much like my security camera that apparently just deletes footage for no reason when a man is in the driveway, is playing in the yard. This car speeds through an intersection, gets airborne, and then hits the girl like at 40 miles an hour or something. It gets airborne when it hits the curb of the house. Hits her. She goes into the garage. It's funny because she's not dead and she's actually fine-ish. I mean, she's got some broken bones, but reports are that she's in the hospital and she's conscious and she's communicating and she's doing okay. And then in the video, you see this guy running away from the scene while pulling his pants up. They're like, who is it? Next story. Driver who hit the 9-year-old turns himself in. He says he was fighting off an armed carjacker. What? The driver involved in the hit and run of a 9-year-old girl as she played in her front yard has turned himself in. Gabriel Fordham turned himself in, he is accused of hitting the girl with his car on Friday, crashing into her home, and then fleeing the scene. Fordham's attorney, Ryan Williams, told the Wall Street Bee. I just looked at WSB and I assumed it was Wall Street something, but it's probably not. WSB, that Fordham was fighting off a carjacker when the crash occurred. Someone jumped in his vehicle with a pistol, put the gun to his face, made him drive, and the whole time my client was driving, he was kind of directing his path. Williams said that Fordham is apologetic and he wants to help this family get closure to the issue. She was playing outside with a friend when she caught a glimpse of the dark car speeding toward her. The car flies over the curb, blah, blah, blah. We already went over this. Is this video going to play the whole thing? Because we're not going to... Okay. I just told you guys we weren't going to play it, so let's not let that play on the show. So the point is, he says there was a carjacker. Now, in the video, you see a guy running away from the scene, from the garage, from the passenger side of the car. Now, you can't see what side he got off on. You could easily have gotten out on the driver's side, or it could have been that you were driving and you had to get out, but you just crashed so the driver's side doesn't open, so you jump across the seat. Anyway, either way, he runs away. But then he says there was a carjacker. Is that, like, the best thing he could come up with? Because where's the carjacker? But only the video shows the guy, only one person running away. You would think that if there was a carjacker, there would be two people running away, or there would be one that ran away and one still in the car. So that makes no sense. This car is deep in my house, the lady says. My basement is destroyed. The girl's in a lot of pain, but she's in good spirits. She's a strong little girl. She's talking. She's laughing. She's joking. And she's talked with her friends. So anyway, people are going, how did he... I'm going to look and see if there's any updates to this. Ooh! Hit-and-run suspect who struck girl in yard due in court today for a preliminary hearing. So, we're not going to... You never learn much from preliminary hearings. So that is today. Maybe we'll have an update. His attorney said he was the victim of an armed carjacking. He blacked out before crashing the car into the home. But where's the carjacker? Why does anyone not say anything? Police have not confirmed whether a carjacking took place. They say their investigation is ongoing. Authorities who are looking for the passenger in the car who is seen on video running away from the scene immediately after the crash. Williams said that person carjacked Fordham, who has not been identified. Wait. So did two people actually run? Maybe two people did run. And the other guy was, maybe there literally was a carjacker. People are not focusing on this enough then. If two people actually ran from the car, that actually supports the argument. I mean, it could have been his brother or his friend or whatever. Like, hey, bro, why'd you tell the police that I carjacked you? There he is. Oh, this is true. So, okay, I'm looking at a better video here. One person literally runs away. Alleged carjacker. He's in a black shirt. He just starts jogging away from the scene. And then a guy in a yellow shirt comes out. He's like, oh, God, I don't believe what happened. He stumbles around, but since everyone's focused on the girl, No one's focused on the driver. And he just leaves. His attorney says he felt threatened by the girl's family members in the yard. Which, yeah, I would too. But still. Interesting. Okay, so that was good. And the way I told the story for the last half hour was completely false. Because this guy, there was two people in the car. So I guess we'll see what happens. Two Honolulu police officers have been indicted for allegedly forcing a homeless man to lick a urinal. Two officers charged with one count of conspiring to deprive a person of his civil rights, and another count of acting under color of law to deprive the same individual of his civil rights. January 28th, 2018. This was a long time ago, but the indictments only just came through. Deprived a man of his constitutional rights to be free from unreasonable seizure by law enforcement officers. According to initial reports, four officers are being investigated for forcing a man to place his mouth on a urinal at a public restroom on Saturday afternoon in the Kiamoku area. Officers had been responding to a trespass complaint and reported to 911. They came in contact with the victim. So this homeless guy, he's just hanging out in the bathroom. This is what we like to do. And I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's reading the news. Maybe he's doing things with his naked body. You never know. Maybe he doesn't own clothes. So he came into contact with the victim, and apparently they came to the bathroom and like, what are you doing in here? Lick a urinal. That's your punishment now. I don't know. I went to a race last week, and I wasn't racing. I was just going to hang out and be a spectator, and normally when I'm a spectator, I bring my bike along, right? Then I can watch multiple parts of the course and get to different parts without having to sprint it. Because if you want to watch a running race and you don't have a mode of transportation, you have to literally run the race to watch it, or at least run most of it while you take shortcuts. So I get my bike. Everything's going fine. I ride the route, and the roads are not closed for this particular race. So that means you have to move out of the way of cars while simultaneously not hitting runners, right? So at one point in the race, there is a car coming, and I move with plenty of space between me and all of the runners, and I dodge the car, right? And then I get to the end of the race. Everything's fine. It's a pretty small race. Everyone kind of knows who each other. A lot of them know who I am. So I'm at the end, I'm watching the finish, I'm going, yay, finishers of the stupid race. And then this mom walks up to me. And I thought she was going to say something nice, like, oh, next time you should run the race. That's a lot what a lot of people say if I'm not racing. They go, you should have run. Did you see the winner? He came in 32 minutes. You could beat that. I go, no, I'm good. LOL. Instead, she comes up and she goes, next time, could you be a little more safe? That was my son that you swerved near. And I go, what? She's like, my son, you were biking and you swerved really hard into the runners and you got so close to him, he could have gotten scared and run into traffic. He's 13. I was like, sorry about that. Number one, she was like 30 seconds behind this incident. There's no way that she could see how close I was to the kid with any amount of precision, let's say. Number two, I'm always super safe on my bike if there are runners involved. If I'm by myself, no, I am not safe. I will speed through red lights. I will crash myself on the highway like I have told you before. If I, it is GTA. Like, you know in GTA where you go, oh, I'm here. I would like to get to that location over there. But between me and that is like a handicapped ramp, a one-way street that goes the wrong way, a bulldozer, a pile of dirt. There's no legal way to get there without going half a mile out of the way. I go, if I'm on my bike, I go, zoop. It's GTA because they don't enforce anything. What are they going to do? Pull me over on my bike and go, you cut through the Walmart parking lot to get to Whole Foods. You had to go around. No, that doesn't happen. So I do whatever. Point is, I don't do whatever if I'm around runners. So for her to insinuate that I was an unsafe biker hurt my feelings, and now we're enemies. And this isn't the only time that she's yelled to me about her son. The other time I was marshaling a course where you just basically point people in the direction or make sure that a car does not run into runners. And she yells at me. She's like, "Can you move all the walkers out of the way? My son is coming through." And I go, "No, because I couldn't. Like, I would have if I could have, but I don't have control of all the walkers for a half mile distance in front of me." I kept going, "Walkers, move over." But they weren't. "Move over for the runners." Most of them don't care. They just walk in the middle of the sidewalk and runners have to go around them. Anyway, so we're enemies now because I almost ran her son off the road or something. Let's see, what else is new? Oh, we got a couple of news of the crazies going in the lightning round. Naked woman found in daycare claims she is owner's wife and tries to fire employees.
Pennsylvania woman is facing charges tonight after deputies say she broke into a daycare in Stafford and took off her clothes. 23-year-old Heaven Connor is charged with unauthorized entry and indecent exposure. Deputies say a daycare employee was turning on the lights in the building early yesterday when she discovered Connor naked, standing in the doorway of one of the classrooms. When a deputy got there, they say Connor had put on black clothes and was holding a fork in each hand. She was taken into custody.
Well, that's all. That's all we have for that story. But did the kids get to see her? Man, when I was 6, I wish I could have seen Heaven Connor age 23. Idiots. Mother and son are arrested after chaos ensues in Walmart. A female and her dog had shoplifted items from the store. When officers arrived at Walmart, they found the female, Lisa Smith, 46. Oh, God. You can see a picture of her on the video version. If she is 46, she's been making a lot of witch's brew. Let's just say, like, this is, if you walked up to a house on Halloween and you needed to get some candy and this lady came to the door and she wasn't even dressed up trying to be a witch, you would go, "That is the scariest witch I've ever seen. I will not take any candy from you." And it wouldn't matter because she wouldn't have any candy. She would just have bat wings. Lisa Smith, 46, screamed in the entryway and tried to catch her dog, Bo. They also learned that her son, Benny Van, who's 25, was in the store also causing problems. Officers learned Smith had come into Walmart with her unleashed dog. Bo ran up to customers. The lady erratically started pulling apart store displays and placing them in her cart. She was asked to leave by staff and left the store to perform karate moves in the parking lot. So, you know, how if someone's coming to you, you go, "No!" You put your hands up in the karate chop fashion. I wonder if that's what she was doing. Or was she literally doing legit moves? She's like, "Excuse me, this is called the backward choppy-dop where you spin around and then you hit someone in the neck and then you hit them in the back of the neck and then they fall over." Now, if she's such a good fighter, she shouldn't have been arrested in the first place. She was probably like, "I'm a black belt. I've been a black belt since I was 7. Can you believe when you're 7 you can be a black belt or whatever? I want to see a whole bunch of kids who are black belts fight a guy. Now, they spent years, right, getting their karate skills up to black belt level. They should be able to take down any full-grown adult, especially if there's like 3 of them. I would like to have a show. The show is called Kids with Black Belts versus Normal Guys Who Work in an Office and see who would win. Because that's the whole point of being in karate. It's like, we need to train you karate so that when you are approached on the street by a man who wants to kidnap you, you know what to do. Okay, whatever. So she was fighting with officers using her karate moves. She also attempted to kick out a window on the squad car. While this was occurring, Van had made his way, this is the kid, or the younger guy, to the back of the store and removed all of his clothing, exposed himself to other customers. Van retrieved new clothing from the racks, but did not purchase those items. When officers approached Van, he refused to stop and attempted to run over an officer with his scooter. Okay. Officers physically stopped the scooter and arrested Van. Smith was arrested for disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, blah, blah, blah. And the dog was caught by officers in the store and brought to the Humane Association. The dog was not charged. Are you so funny, news story. Martin Shkreli placed in solitary confinement. This is the guy we like who raised the drug prices, and everyone hated him for that because he raised drug prices and he has a funny smirk, but he's not even in jail for that. Martin Shkreli was thrown in solitary confinement after reports that he was still running his pharmaceutical company with a cell phone from behind bars. A source close to Shkreli's legal team told the magazine that he was taken to Fort Dix special housing unit about a week and a half after the Wall Street Journal reported that he'd fired the interim CEO from jail. Bureau of Prisons reportedly would not confirm Shkreli was in solitary confinement, but did say that the issues raised by the journal were under investigation when there are allegations of misconduct. Again, this guy went to jail. He got like a 7-year sentence, which is unfortunate for everyone because I loved him making news. I loved people jumping on the internet going, I hate Martin Shkreli. He's such a dick. Without having much information, all they knew was the headline of guy's company raises the prices of a drug 5 billion%. Well, yeah, he did that, but the counter was that this company would also give it away if you could prove you literally couldn't afford it. So I don't know. Like, I admit I don't know enough info. All I know is that he had a funny smirk, and sometimes he would go on Twitch and he would stream, and he only had like 100 viewers. So if you hung out with him, you could chat with him. I never chatted to him, but I would watch his stream sometimes. Quick story, Connecticut town blames a poor decision for attempting to light a baseball field on fire. Facebook post on Saturday, they said, there's been an incident in town where we want to make citizens aware of. A high school baseball game in Governor Park was delayed due to weather conditions on the field, and then a poor decision was made and being looked into by the police department to dry the field quicker by pouring 24 gallons of gasoline on it and setting it on fire. Thanks to the fire department, Peter Hill, the director of public works, and a bunch of other people. No one was injured and no one is in danger. The plan is to excavate the infield, place dirt in a safe container, and add fresh, clean soil to the field. So there's no information as to who did this. Like, was it an employee of the high school? Was it some dad who was like, I know what we can do. I got some gas in the back of my truck, and let's just spray it all over and then light the field on fire, and then that will dry it out. I would have liked to have seen that. I can't believe there's not enough video of that. We are speeding through the stories because I gotta get going and do my shower soon and go to work. However, this is an interesting one. Passengers say that Carnival Cruise Line banned them after they got stuck in an elevator. Eric J.T. Tim shared a photo of a letter from Carnival stating that he would be disembarked from the vessel and not permitted to sail on board any Carnival Cruise Line vessel in the future due to his actions on the current cruise. So let's take a look at the video, at the letter first. Dear Mr. Lee, this letter will confirm your discussion with Carnival Cruise Line personnel where you were informed that you will be disembarked from the vessel and not be permitted to sail on board any Carnival Cruise Line vessel in the future. This decision was based on your actions on the current cruise, which were a violation of the ship rules, interfered with your safety and enjoyment of other guests on the ship, or caused harm to Carnival. Your attempt to book a future cruise will result in cancellation and a possible loss of deposit. You will be responsible for all travel expenses incurred, and an invoice will be sent to your home address for a payment. Wow! Rude! So, what did they end up doing? They were stuck in an elevator. Let's see if we have any video of the elevator.
It's right here, huh?
This is only 10 seconds long.
That does not sound good.
Who cares? Oh, no.
Hey. Oh, all right, can you open this door?
Yeah.
So this is a video from inside the elevator. You can sort of see through the crack where there's a couple workers, and then someone says, that does not sound good. And someone else says, who cares? So I'm not sure who said that. And then there was a loud bang, and he goes, oh, oh.
That's right here, huh?
That does not sound good.
Who cares?
Oh, no.
Hey. All right, can you open this door?
Oh, being stuck in a cruise ship elevator is my scariest fear imaginable. Let's see. Here's another video. This is a little bit longer.
No, I know that. No,
that listen to us.
We are going to pick you up. Then when we're up, we will open the door.
We could probably open it is all I'm saying. I'm not saying we're touching anything. I'm letting you know we could.
Thank you very much, guys.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for us being here.
Oh, man. Your only hope to get out of an elevator is a couple foreigners working $6 an hour, 16 hours a day. And they go, do not touch anything. Thank you. And the cruise ship passenger goes, you're welcome for us being in here.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for us being here.
You can go out.
Well, earlier you said we're going to be stuck in here all day long.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that the same guy? All they know is it's a guy with an accent. Is that the same guy that said we were going to be stuck in here all day long?
Yeah.
45 minutes more is not going to die.
Oh, no one's going to die, but how do you know? You're not in here.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so apparently they started like pulling at the doors and breaking it, and eventually they got out, obviously, but Carnival was like, nope, you went insane. And so you're banned. I would have probably gone insane. Like, get me out. Then again, I never would have put myself in this position to begin with because I would never get on an elevator on a cruise ship. Did you guys hear about the lady who walked into Mar-a-Lago, right? I don't even know what Mar-a-Lago is. I guess it's a resort. She was Chinese. She still is Chinese. And she got there and she was like, I'm going to the event that's occurring later today. And they were like, there's no event. She's like, no, I'm going to it. And they arrest her eventually, and they search her, and they find that she had like 4 cell phones, 3 hard drives, and several USBs. A U.S. Secret Service agent testified at Zhang's bond hearing Monday that a fellow agent inserted a potentially malicious thumb drive that the accused Mar-a-Lago intruder was carrying into a government computer. So the Secret Service confiscate the stuff from the lady, and they go, I wonder what this is. And they take the USB drive and they put it into a real computer that was live on the network? Is that what they're saying? They didn't necessarily say that, but they did say a government computer. Let's find out. Secret Service agent interviewed the Chinese woman after she was arrested following her illegal entry into the president's Palm Beach, Florida resort last month. At the hearing Monday, he testified that another agent placed Zhang's thumb drive into his computer, which immediately began to install a cascade of files he described as very out of the ordinary. What if it was just installing the USB driver and like it's completely an inconsequential file? It's like pics of my kids on my USB drive. The agent scrambled to stop the drive from taking over the computer and to cease any additional corruption. A Secret Service affidavit detailed several devices Zhang was carrying at the time of her arrest, including a thumb drive containing malicious software, which we don't know what it was. And if you put it on your computer and then you pulled it out, it's too late. You need to throw that computer away, basically. You need to at least reformat the entire hard drive. Because it is now compromised. It only takes a split second for that stuff to go in, as we know from House of Cards or Mr. Robot. Zhang's public defender, Robert Adler, dismissed the prosecution's claims that she in any way is tied to foreign espionage, but federal prosecutor Roland Garcia said Zhang lies to everyone she encounters. She was apprehended while carrying a laptop computer, 4 cell phones, an external hard drive, and the thumb drive. She had $7,500 in $100 bills and $663 in Chinese currency, plus 9 USB drives and 5 SIM cards. So 9 more? Or just 9 total? Because why did it say thumb drive? Wait, why did it say thumb drive and then USB drive in another line? Those are not different things. Prosecutors said she had a hidden camera detector in her hotel room. Unless it was literally her thumb, and it's a drive. On Monday, CNN reported that Trump was seeking the removal of Secret Service Director Randolph Tech's allies from his post because of this. However, several sources said his removal was not... Oh, no, sorry. Several sources said his removal is not related to the investigation. Prosecutors are treating the investigation as a matter of national security. What if she was... What if, like, Trump invited her? And she was like, I'm here to see him. And then he went, oops, shouldn't have done that. I'll just pretend that that never happened. And also, everyone related to this that let her in is fired. How could you? She has been indicted. And she's charged with lying to a federal agent and entering restricted property. Prosecutors in court have suggested she could have been trying to spy, but that is not reflected in the court filing. So her only charges are trespassing and lying. So let's look at the actual indictment. On or about March 30th, 2019, in Palm Beach County, the defendant, Yujing Zhang, did knowingly enter and remain and attempt to enter and remain in a restricted building and grounds, that is the Mar-a-Lago Club and its grounds, without lawful authority to do so. That was count one of unlawful entry of restricted buildings and grounds. Count two, false statements. On or about March 30th, 2019, in Florida, in a matter within the jurisdiction of the Homeland Security, Secret Service, blah, 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 the defendant did knowingly and willfully make a materially false, fictitious, and fraudulent statement and representation to a Department of Homeland Security United States agent, service agent, that is, when asked whether she was authorized to be at the Mar-a-Lago Club and its grounds, the defendant stated that she was there to attend a United Nations friendship event, when in truth and in fact, and the defendant, and as the defendant then and there well knew, no such event was scheduled at Mar-a-Lago and its grounds. So these are the indictments. Only two counts. Now, apparently lying to a Secret Service agent is a pretty serious count. So if you ever come across a Secret Service agent and he asks you how your day is, do not say good unless it is actually good. Be very truthful. Do not make false statements to the Secret Service at any time. It's not good. That was me doing the transition to the ending of the show. Go on over to newswithnick.com. On the left-hand sidebar, you can sign up for text updates. If you need to hear breaking news, if I decide that it's breaking, or more importantly, if you need to hear show updates for when there will be shows recorded, type in your phone number, newswithnick.com. Go over there, click on race reports, read some of the stuff that I have been racing, even though I don't race. I should have blogged about the race where I was on a bike and almost killed several children by running them over and into traffic. Come on, children, this way, into the cars. Check out old shows, and that will be it for today on News with Nick. Sorry that the show was pretty boring because there wasn't very much good news to go over. However, we will be tracking the events of today's Boston Marathon, and hopefully something exciting happens. Like maybe multiple people will have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the race. That's normally the most exciting thing that could happen while watching a bunch of people running with their legs. All right, bye.